worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, but still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy
Church of the Brethren. It's good to see you all here to worship with us this morning. I'd like to highlight a few of the morning's announcements. I'd like to highlight the fact that today is the Kobe's Walk this afternoon. The bike ride and the motorcycle ride have been canceled due to the weather and due to road conditions, but the walk is still scheduled. The auction will be going on, and the email said it'll be indoors. So please come out and join us this afternoon. The walk will start at 2:30. Bring your umbrellas along. Some other announcements is just to invite you on Saturday evening to the Myerstown Church of the Brethren. They're having a night of music. Our faithful men are going to be singing on that evening. There'll be a lot of different groups that'll be singing a couple of numbers. Bob Kettering will be leading some group singing also. That's at 7 p.m. on Saturday evening. That's the 15th, this Saturday. Next Sunday, the youth is sponsoring a soup and sandwich after the 10:30 worship service, so please plan to stay and join us for the soup and sandwich. And then also next Monday, the 17th, there are in your bulletins, you'll find certificates for Rob's to have money contributed to our team that is going to the Dominican Republic. Take that along, and part of your proceeds from the meal that you partake of will be donated to our Dominican team. Are there other announcements that you'd like to highlight this morning, Gary? Other announcements, Burl.
I'll have someone use a microphone. I want to make
announcements
about this conference.
Yeah, it'd be probably best if you, do you mind coming up? Or somebody have one, will somebody bring a microphone over for Burl, please, to make an announcement? Thanks. Are there any other announcements while Burl's waiting for her microphone?
Since this is one service, I thought I'd catch everybody at once. I have accepted the position for delegate to district conference, wondering why what I stepped into. There are several hot button issues that are coming to district conference. They've been placing papers in the narthex. If you have not picked up those subject matter, I would like if you would look at those. Bring any comments to me or either Jerry or Polly. Better yet, you can show up to district conference. You can feel free to comment just like they do at annual conference if you have strong concerns regarding the issues that are coming up. Now, the other good thing that's happening is they're going to give a list of good things. I've placed that job on Pastor Matt's shoulders. The other thing is their project that they're going to support this year. That's what that weird thing is out in the narthex. We're going to be supporting, through the district conference, Kobe's Kids Closet. Now, in your bulletins, you will see a short list of the items that are requested. Specifically, I want to say, twice on the long list, they say, no toothbrushes, absolutely not. And every item should be new. Used clothing will go to council churches at a later date. If you want to see the long list with specific items for the specific age groups, I have it posted on a weird display in the upper narthex along with donation boxes. I will see that those get emptied as they are filled. And I will see, along with Polly and Jerry, that those items get to district conference on October 6th. So there's a lot going with district conference. And while I have the microphone, I'll lift up a prayer concern. Maybe Pastor Matt has it already. At this point, Ruthie Conover is in the health center at Poplar Ridge. I don't have any information as to room number, but that's where she is at this point in time.
Thanks, Burl. Does anyone have any other announcements that they'd like to make this morning? If not, I'm going to invite you to rise to your feet. I'm going to ask you to turn to your back of your bulletin to the Open to God's Power. I'm going to ask you to respond in the black and print where it says, be open. I'll read the other part, and you respond with the be open. So please rise and stay standing for our opening hymn. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy.
Be opened.
If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what good is that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead.
Be opened.
Just as Jesus left the familiarity of Galilee, publicly affirmed a foreign woman's faith, and privately gave a deaf man voice.
Be opened.
As a flower's petals unfurl so that it might produce seeds in abundance.
Be opened.
Number 20, come and see.
With us this morning. We know there are joys and concerns among our hearts, and we do have a microphone coming around. If anyone has a joy or concern they'd like to share with your church family, just simply put your hand in the air and we'll get a microphone to you. As always, keep your bulletin near you, and there's prayer concerns listed there. And add to that, of course, Ruth Conover and others that come to your mind as you go throughout your week praying for your church family and community.
Next Sunday, 56 years of marriage for Carl and myself. However, this past week, we remembered 3 years from his death. Now you see the person, and you've heard about Kobe's. If Carl were here this morning, he'd be standing up and telling you about Kobe's. So I'm here to tell you about Kobe's this morning. Even though it was the mission of the month last month, there's still the need for children and families. There's always the need at Kobe's, as you've heard already, for the kids' closet. If a youth has not come to you yet and asked you to sponsor them, go to the youth today yet. You still have time. Even if you gave last month to the mission, you still have time to open your hearts and your wallet today and give to children in need. Carl's big thing was making our youth number one, and they've been number one givers in the last 3 years since his death. he'd be standing here today saying, let's keep them at the top. If they haven't come to you, go to a youth, go to anybody with the purple shirt on today and give them your offering for children. I'll get off my soapbox, but remembering Carl, this is what he would do. He'd be disappointed that the cycle ride was canceled for today.
And if you don't have cash on you, they will bill you later, so no excuses.
True that.
Yes, I have an aunt from Jonestown who passed away, Lucy Trout, and I'd like you to be in prayer for her family.
The Troutman family? Is that correct?
My mom, Mayan Miller, is in Hershey Medical Center, so if you could keep her in your prayers.
Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you at this very moment in time that you are with us. We thank you, Father, that whatever journey you have taken us on, that you journey with us. We know, Father, that this journey called life can often be difficult. We know this journey called life can often bring joy. But Lord, we're just placing everything before you this morning. We're surrendering to you and we're asking you, Lord, to just continue to meet us exactly where we are. You know, Father, the loss of loved ones that we've experienced. You know the years that have gone by. You know the days that have gone by. And yet, Lord, you come to us and comfort us. You bring us this indescribable peace. And how we thank you, Lord, for that peace, for that hope that we know one day as we trust, as we believe in you, we too shall see our loved ones on the other side. So thank you, God, for those memories that flood our minds even now. Thank you, God, for events such as the Kobe's walk today. And we just pray, Lord, that those funds that are needed would be brought forth and that the needs of every child and family would be met. And we just thank you that you use denominations like the Church of the Brethren to do so. We think, Father, of Marie this morning and Ruth this morning and the other Ruth this morning and just pray that your healing touch would be upon them. And we know, Father, that as we struggle, we often draw closer to you. We meet you in the midst of that struggle. And so, Father, we just thank you this morning for the struggle, for the suffering we go through. For we know that the suffering you went through is far beyond anything we'll ever begin to go through. So thank you that you suffered, that we might also suffer and know you in your suffering. We just think of the Dosh family this morning. Lord, continue to just give them a love, give them a hope, give them a peace, give them a joy. Just knowing the life that Mike lived and the legacy that he has left behind to carry forward. We think of sister congregations, and especially this morning, lift up Lewiston. And we pray, Lord, for their pastor this morning as he delivers the message. We pray for their congregants, Lord. We pray for their community that they would receive Lewiston and be a part of that family. And we just thank you for everyone gathered here this morning. Father, you do know us. You know us better than we could ever begin to know ourselves. You know what we're dealing with in this very moment. And we just pray, Father, that you would just empower us, that you would give us what we need. And we just pray that for Pam as well as she prepares for Nigeria. Lord, you know her needs, and I pray specifically you would just allow those needs to be met. Just give her peace, give her joy as she goes to Nigeria and interacts with that community and that area, Lord. We just thank you for her willingness to serve. And we pray, Father, in this moment that we would say yes to your call. We know that this morning our scripture will say, come follow me. But what does that really look like in our lives? Are we truly following you? Or have we seen things of this world, items of this world that have distracted us from being able to follow you in complete surrender? So, Father, begin to prepare our hearts for that message this morning and help us, Father, to know that you travel in this life with us. We can't go anywhere without you. You're always with us. So thank you for that knowledge this morning. We do know, Father, that we have sins in our lives. We confess them to you this morning during these next few moments of silent prayer, but we also lift up those prayers upon our hearts. So thank you for hearing these prayers of confession as well as those other prayers on our hearts. Father, we know here in this place that you are calling each of us. You have given us talents, you have given us gifts, and we tend to like to walk in the shallow water. But Father, I feel this morning that you're calling us to walk deeper, to go deeper in our relationship with you, to go deeper in that walk with you, that we might trust you more. For we know in that shallow water, it's easy to get through. But when things get deep, when things get difficult, we know it becomes harder to follow you. But Father, meet us in this place. Help us to know that no matter how deep that water may get, no matter how much we may feel like we're drowning, that you are our life jacket, that you will save us. So, Father, be with this denomination. Help us through this difficult time. You know the issues at hand, and you know what our resolutions should be. So we pray that you would indeed speak, as we know that you speak to us each and every day through what your word has already said. So thank you, God, for all things. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, most of all, for your forgiveness and love. And it's in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
As we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. The God, you reign forever, our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint. As we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever, our hope, our strong deliverer. Are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint.
The rain and the snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It's found in Isaiah 55:10. God created the circle of life, a circle that's a fine balance and it's beautiful to behold. The glories of creation were not made for our pleasure only, but for his. We were made to be the caretakers of his garden. So just how's that working out? Christ came to reconcile all things to himself, including not just those on the earth, but with the earth, bringing the circle back into balance. We can honor him by honoring the creation that he loves. As we prepare to give our offerings, may we remember this balance that God created. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, may the gifts we bring to you this day bring you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder, blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, 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 was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Of your name, Jesus, your name is power, breath, and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Children to come join me up front. Good morning. I have a question for all of you. Do any of you enjoy fishing?
I don't know because I've never gone fishing.
You've never gone fishing? Oh, I know someone who likes fishing. Yeah. If you've ever been fishing and have caught a fish, you know that there's a tremendous feeling of excitement when you catch a fish. What do you think it takes to be a good fisherman? What's that? Learning where the fishing spots are? That's a great answer. You have to be really quiet to catch a fish. That's a good answer, too. Well, if you really want to be a good fisherman, there are several things that I think you need to know and do. Number one is if you want to be a good fisherman, you need to be properly equipped. You can't just get a piece of string and put a hook on it and tie it to the end of a stick and expect to catch very many fish, can you? Nope. A serious fisherman will make sure that he has all the right equipment. You will need a rod and reel. Number two, the next thing you will need to know is that you can't sit at home reading fishing magazines and expect to catch any fish. You have to go where the fish are to catch them. And number three, finally, if you want to be a good fisherman, you must learn patience. Sometimes the fish just aren't biting. I guess that's the main reason why my husband doesn't let me go fishing with him anymore. I thought that you should catch a fish the minute your hook hit the water. I don't have very good patience when it comes to fishing. If you ever went fishing and you didn't catch anything, you'll know it's frustrating sometimes and just want to give up. Well, one day Jesus was walking along the seashore when he saw two brothers named Peter and Andrew. Jesus knew that they were fishermen, so he said to them, "Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Do you know what they did? They laid down their fishing nets and they followed Jesus. Jesus wants you and me to be fishers of men too. That means that Jesus wants us to tell others about what he has done for us and what he wants to do for them. What does it take to be a fisher of men? If we want to be fishers of men, there are some things we need to do. Very similar to a good fisherman. Number one, we need to be properly equipped. We need to know what the Bible teaches us and learn how to share it with others. Number two, we need to remember that we can't just sit around reading the Bible and talking about fishing for men and expect to bring people to Jesus. We have to go out where the people are and we need to tell them about Jesus. And number three, finally, we must learn patience. Everybody we tell about Jesus isn't going to believe. Some people just won't be interested, but we can't give up. We just have to keep telling people about Jesus and let Jesus take care of the rest. If we do all of these things, we can really become fishers of men like Jesus. If you think there is a tremendous feeling of excitement in catching a fish, just imagine how exciting it must be to bring someone close to Jesus. Before you guys go, I would like everyone to take a bag of fish to remind you that we are all fishers of men. And I challenge you to share your fish with someone and remind them of how wonderful Jesus is. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, help us become fishers of men and to share with others what you have done for us and what you want to do for them. Amen.
Children are returning to their seats. I'll invite you to turn in your hymnals to number 227, "Two Fishermen." Might be a new song for many of you, but we're going to play through it one time through, and I think it's a catchy tune.
Fishermen who lived along the Sea of Galilee stood by the shore to cast their nets into an ageless sea. Now Jesus watched them from afar and called them each by name. He changed their lives, these simple men, they'd never be the same. "Leave all things you have and come and follow me, and come and follow me." And as he walked shore, 'twas James and John he'd find, and these two sons of Zebedee would leave their boats behind. Their work and all they held so dear were left beside their nets. In times they'd heard as Jesus called, they came without regret. Leave all things we have and come and follow me, and come and follow me. Oh, Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, beloved one, you heard Christ called to speak good news revealed to God's own Son. Susanna, Mary, Magdalene, who traveled with the Lord, you went and said to him with joy, for he you God adored. Leave all things you have and come and follow me, and come and follow me. And you good Christians, one and all, who'd follow Jesus' way, come leave behind what keeps you bound to trappings of our day. And listen as he calls your name to come and follow near, for still he speaks in varied ways to those his call will hear. Leave all things you have and come and follow me, and come and follow me.
This morning's scripture reading, Mark 16 through 20. And Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him.
There's a certain someone here this morning that I said, if you ever came to church, I would do a rap for you. So that particular person, you know who you are, is here this morning. So here's your rap this morning. We know that in this life we shall face strife, but you, Lord, say, come follow me, and in the midst of our pain we shall find glee. So here we are, seeking you, the bright morning star, who longs to take us far. Give us strength, give us courage, give us peace, help us all find release. To you, Lord, be the glory, that we might find you amidst our story. Word. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you so much for gathering us in this place. We thank you, Father God, that you are an active God. You are a God that wants to meet us in our story. And you call out to us this morning, come, follow me. But Father, we know in the midst of this world, there are so many things that are saying, follow me. And they have deceptive voices, and that deceptive voice often leads us to want to follow. But Father, we know that you sent your Son, that as he lived here on this earth, he set us an example that we can truly follow him. So thank you, Lord, for that example. Bless us in our studies this morning. Help us to be reminded of how important it is to surrender, to let go, and to follow. In the name of Jesus, amen. So to truly follow Christ means he has to become everything to us. The reality is everyone follows something, whether it's friends, whether it's pop culture, family, whether it's selfish desires or God himself. We look at Matthew 6:24, and it implies we can only follow one thing at a time. It reads, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Now, we know this reference is serving both God and money, but we can play it out to mean God and whatever else might take his place. Fill in the blank according to your own lives. As much as we think we have it under control, God often takes the back burner. Back in the day, which was only 10 years ago, I justified sacrificing family time to play softball 3 or 4 days a week. You see, I could justify it because I played on the church team in the town league. So I was witnessing for God, like I was doing him a favor by ignoring my responsibilities as spiritual head of the household. But I'd carry on in Jesus' name. We'd pray before games. We'd promise one another we'd never scream at the umpires. But I wasn't really following Jesus. You see, my first love was softball. But the day came, I had to draw the line. Who was really on first? Tournaments started going all weekend, which we know what that means. Sunday play, skipping church to go and make disciples. So I thought. But who was I kidding? I was feeding myself, which the concession stands did quite well at. But my focus was on me. Jesus wasn't on first. I wasn't shouting out, "Praise you, Jesus," every time I made a catch or struck a guy out, which, by the way, hardly happens in slow pitch softball. You see, I was serving the wrong master. Jesus wasn't my everything. God even states in Exodus 23, we are to have no other gods before him. So friends, this morning I invite us to take a look at our own lives, determine for ourselves who or what is your everything. Following Christ means we cannot follow anything else. I'm not talking about our Facebook or Instagram or Twitter accounts. I'm talking the very life that is in front of us, the one that God has given us and will account us for in the final judgment. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Friends, the truth can cut like a knife. It can pierce like a sword. But please understand, there's no such thing as a halfway follower. We're either all in or we're serving two masters. The disciples did actually teach us a few things, and they even demonstrated this one for us. No one can follow Christ in their own power. No one can follow Christ in their own power. When they relied on, when they trusted in, and they had faith, look what the disciples did. But on the opposite side, let's check out those Pharisees. Remember the teachers of the law? Talk about perfect examples of trying to obey God in their own strength. But then look what happens. Their self-effort led to arrogance, and it led to their own demise, the distortion of the purpose of God's law. You see, friends, Jesus gave his disciples the secret, if you will, to faithfully following him. But like us, they did not always recognize it. I have a confession. I wanted nothing more than to stand here this morning and just talk to you. But God had these other plans, and he said, write this down. Jesus even said in John 6:63, the spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. And he goes on and he says in verse 65, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. It's not that God hasn't enabled me to speak to you. He simply chooses to speak to you through me with this paper. But don't worry, I don't get it either. I guess he knows how A, D, 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 D I am. And he knows it needs to be in front of me or we'll be talking about penguins, which leads me to birds, which leads me to the Eagles, who, by the way, pulled out a win this past week. And some say they don't believe in miracles. Hello. But back on track, Matt. You see how easy that can happen? But let's chug along here. Now, where was I? That's right. We have to remember, keep this in mind, always remember that those disciples had walked with Jesus for 3 years. They were learning, they were observing, and they were participating in his miracles. Yet even they couldn't follow him faithfully in their own strength. But friends, even still, there's credit due. Remember the passage? I know it's been so long since Denise read it. These first followers of Jesus, aka disciples, were fishermen. It's what they knew. Like farmers who know farming, like mechanics who know cars, like beauticians who know hair. You get the idea. These guys were ordinary people like you and I. That should give us this great feeling. They were lower class. They weren't all that educated, not the sharpest tool in the shed. But they got it. They get it. Do we? When Jesus calls out to them, "Come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men," they respond. They leave what they know. They drop their nets. They leave behind family and they follow. How about us? What have we left to follow Jesus? Or maybe the better question for us this morning is, what are we still holding on to? Our reputation? Our finances? Our homes? Our safety? What keeps us from letting go of what we know and following Jesus? We can only imagine this scene from the shore. Were they starstruck? Was it his voice or the look in his eye? Or did they just know more about Jesus than we could ever realize? There's a lot of unanswered questions here, but friends, they were called and they followed. It's really cool when we think about it. They came as they were. It's not all that different with you and I. We can come as we are, filthy rags and all. But friends, as time goes on, as we get down to business with Jesus, we're called to leave that old self behind. We're called to put on our new self and follow him even closer. It's not that we don't come as we are, but now we come with a greater expectancy of what God can do through us. But we all know that old self won't go down without a fight. It's like Rocky Balboa, who keeps coming back and fights till he wins. But we know the victor. We know the outcome. The dog will eventually run away with his tail between his legs. But we need to surrender. And we need to surrender again. We need to let go, and we need to keep letting go. I wish with all of my being I could say that it's one and done. But the enemy will keep coming back. He will keep tempting us. And every single day of our lives, we need to surrender and let go. Say that Jesus is Lord, and say that he's not done with me yet. But here's the good news. The more we do this, the closer we follow him, the easier it actually becomes. It's like that corner kick. We practice it over and over again, and before long, we get it right, and the goal happens. And the saying holds true, practice makes perfect. But even the disciples needed a helper. And that same helper, friends, is available to us. Jesus promised many times that once he had ascended to the Father, he would send a helper to them. We know him as the Holy Spirit.
In fact, he went on to tell them, and ultimately us, it's for our own good that he was going away so the Holy Spirit could come. Friends, stay with me. Be bound together. Remain connected like those knots you received coming into the sanctuary, and realize and believe in the name of Jesus that the force awakens within us when the Holy Spirit empowers us to live lives separate from the world. But we can't do it on our own. Jesus has to be our number one. If you ever played sports, remember your greatest fan? Remember your biggest cheerleader? The one you could hear calling your name from the sideline? Matt, 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 Matt. Okay, so I played golf, so that never really happened. You know, I didn't even have a jersey with a number on it. But friends, that fan is Jesus Christ our Lord. He is cheering us on. He is believing in us. He wants what's best for us. He's not going to let us down. He can't. It's impossible. You see the cross? You see the empty tomb? They weren't in vain. They were an example we all need to follow, giving our all and surrendering to Jesus. But the world, oh, how the world has its way with words. They take that word surrender, and to surrender means you've been defeated. To surrender means that you've lost. To surrender means you're weak and you can't handle it. But friends, that's so not true in Jesus Christ. He gives us even more. He takes us further than we could ever take ourselves. So again, we ask ourselves this morning, what is holding us back? What is keeping us from putting him first in our lives? Friends, there's no decision that matters more. There's no greater reward than what's in store. Following Jesus simply means striving to be like him. Think of it like this. Remember that show, Who's the Boss? Anyone remember that show, Who's the Boss? To truly follow Christ means that he is the boss. It means making Jesus Lord of our lives. Every decision, every dream is filtered through him. Our goal in everything is to glorify his name. Now notice, I didn't say my name. We're not saved by the things we do for Christ, but by what he's done for us. It's a matter of grace. It's why we do what we do for him. So let's keep this train chugging full steam ahead. Are you ready for this? I need you to say yep, yep. To follow Christ means we apply the truths we learn from his word and live. Are you sure you're ready? And live as if he himself walks beside us. To follow Christ means we apply the truths we learn from his word and live as if he himself walks beside us. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. What a difference our lives would be if here in the flesh, Jesus was trekking to work with me, trekking to school with you, going to the store with you. If we never had a filter, would we ever have a filter then? If we had any bad habits, those habits would be kicked to the curb. But friends, let's be honest. If Jesus was here in the flesh, we would be living the best life we could live. But that's just it. There's a reality here we may be missing. Jesus does indeed go with us wherever we go. You see, following Jesus is not without a purpose. It's in the gratitude we show. It's just a fancy word of saying thank you for this life we have despite what we suffer and what we lose. It's the gospel that we share, the good news that Jesus came that we might have life. Yet we also know those that have surrendered, following Jesus is not without a price. There's things that we hold near. And I realized that that beautiful black Mustang convertible was starting to become an idol in my life. There were bills that needed paid on, so it had to go. There are people that we hold dear to our hearts. Friends we feel we can't do without them, but they continually take us down the wrong path. I know it's not easy, but it's time to move on. Their influence can't keep us from Christ. But we keep praying. We keep witnessing. And above all, we guard our hearts. So all this to say, as the train comes to a stop today, Jesus said, "Come, follow me." And he said it with a promise. A promise that all may go well with us. The youth are going to make their way forward, and you received a knot. And as the youth come forward, they're going to explain to us the importance of being bound together, what it means that that knot needs to remain tight so that we'll never separate. So whatever youth are coming forward to share more about the knots you received, I invite you now.
So yes, all of you should have received a knot on your way in this morning, and it's part of the chain that we made on, as a congregation, on NYC Sunday. You guys can use it as a bookmark or put it somewhere visible to help you remember that we are bound together as a church family, and that you are loved and not alone in the church.
Also, if you'd like to make a donation towards the youth walking in the Kobe's Walk today, we will be in the back of the service.
Thank you.
Thank you, youth. Would you pray with me? God, we know that there are strings attached to us in all directions. We know that some of those strings simply need to be cut off, that they're not healthy for us. They're strings that keep us in this world, that keep us from truly following you. But Lord, we know there are strings attached, such as fellow believers, friends in the faith, people we can depend on and rely on and have that bound together feeling with. And how we need that support, how we need to know that love from fellow believers as we trek through this life. But Lord, we do come this morning. We come as we are, confessing we've failed. Time and time again, we know that in reality you aren't our everything, that there are other things that vie for our attention. And we confess them to you, Lord, this morning, and we ask you, in your Son's most precious name, as we come as we are to you, to help us to release them. For we know that in releasing them, we find this newfound freedom. This burden lifted from our shoulder that we couldn't explain why was there except by seeking you and praying and knowing that this string attached needed to be cut. So, Lord, we pray as we remain bound together in the faith, knotted tightly, that we would hold true to what your word says, that we would not wander, but we would run to you. And we would recognize our sins are forgiven, but those sins must be confessed and turned over. So in the name of Jesus, we do just that this morning as we come as we are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please rise and join us to sing "Come As You Are." The words will be projected.
Come sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let the rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. The grace, there's rest for the weary, west that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart. Come as you joy for the morning. O sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Lay down your burden.
If you have your knot near you, I'd invite you to extend that knot to your neighbor, and your neighbor could grab a hold of that knot as we are bound together this morning, recognizing what Jesus said, to come follow me. But we know in our own strength that's impossible to do. But as you look at your neighbor and you see that you are bound together, that you are knotted together, there is strength in unity. There is strength in numbers. So be reminded, as you follow Jesus, you don't follow him by yourself. You follow him with generations and generations of believers that are before you. So take this reminder with you. As you sense that knot being tightened, as you pull against your neighbor's knot, feel the strength in that bond and never let it go. May, in the power of Jesus, we be connected as we respond, come follow me. May it be so in the name of Jesus. Amen.
lift up your face. Oh,